5 years ago, an Enbridge Energy pipeline burst, causing the biggest inland oil spill in U.S. history. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. One of the rumors you can still hear about the incident is that the company must have dumped a surfactant into the Kalamazoo River to help break up the oil. The chemical is called Corexit, and it can be harmful to humans. Regulators and Enbridge, who in full disclosure is a financial supporter of this station, all deny Corexit was ever used for the Kalamazoo spill. But that hasn't put the rumor to rest. Lindsay Smith has been working to sort fact from fiction.
The Corexit rumor has roots in a lab report put out about a year and a half ago.
Okay, I'm here.
All right.
I have my file.
Robert Naiman runs his own lab in Alabama. Some people in Michigan sent him samples of what they call tar rocks that they found in the river. Corexit is on Naiman's radar because of his work during the BP oil spill.
What the surfactant would do is it would mix with spilled oil, and like in the Gulf of Mexico with the BP spill, the surfactant made the material heavier than water.
But in the Kalamazoo spill, the heavy tar sands oil was already heavier than water. Naiman says samples from the Kalamazoo had chemical markers for Corexit, specifically 2-butoxyethanol. But you can find that in the river from a number of sources.
If we were talking about teeny, teeny, tiny amounts, that would make me think that there's, you know, a little bit there from motorboats and from people washing their boats and washing their pier off or whatever, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah, but you're saying it's more than that, huh?
Yeah, there's
how much? How much?
Micrograms per liter.
Naiman gives me a lot of numbers, big numbers. But I'm no chemist, so I shared his report with several chemists, and I gotta say, they're not convinced. Here's Western Michigan University chemistry professor Michael Barcelona.
In the compound-specific analyses, I don't see any evidence for butoxyethanol. It's not here.
To be sure, Barcelona did his own analysis on 6 samples.
In the tar rock samples, we found some evidence for some low molecular weight alcohols that might have been misidentified by the lab in Alabama as butoxyethanol. Regardless, you know, our analyses did not coincide with their result. We didn't see any evidence of the butoxyethanol. Zero.
So I've got 2 contradicting reports. Time to do our own, huh? I give Craig Ritter a call. Ritter is the guy who started finding these weird rocks. He sent them to Alabama to get tested. We meet up not far from where the spill happened.
There seems to be a lot of rocks or strange formations that have piled up here, so we're going to head down there and see what we can get.
The so-called tar rocks we find are dark on the outside and break up really easily in your hand. Ritter and others claim they started showing up after the spill. Others disagree. They say they're just rocks. Tests haven't proven much of anything about the rocks. Different samples are made up of different material. Nothing weird, though. Ritter and I fish a couple of the suspected tar rocks out of the river.
Drop that bad boy in there. All right, we got one sample down, one to go.
I send the glass jars with the samples to a third lab that Michigan Radio hired. The results came back a few weeks ago. No 2-butoxyethanol, no Corexit, nothing. If Enbridge dumped Corexit into the Kalamazoo River after the spill 5 years ago, I have no proof of it. For the Environment Report, I'm Lindsay Smith, Michigan Radio News.
And that's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.